Well, I believe our question is there any good news? Well, there is good news. And we're going to take a leaf out of Ruth's book. And we're going to find the good news that Ruth had. She had good news. It wasn't because it was actually good news, but her good news came because of her right views. And that's where we'll have our good news coming to. Laurie left for Queensland last week for some work and water all over the floor quickly announced that the washing machine had broken down. Good news? Well, I washed the floor. And what's more, Andrew and I worked out how to fix it, so we'll be right as long as the same thing happens every time, which I'm sure it won't. But anyhow, I don't want to trivialise your bad news today. I know how bad news can be. Ruth teaches us this: God is there. There is good news. Perhaps like Ruth, you face a death in the family. Perhaps a family dissension, you face the death of a family. Perhaps like Naomi, you face death in your economy, famine. Perhaps because of shattered hopes and dreams, you're asking, is there any good news? Well, Ruth discovered that there is, and let us too. There is life after death. There is life, eternal life, and that's the best news of all. God put the book of Ruth in the Bible for one very good reason, to show us that there is good news. In this book we see the majestic fulfilment of God's purposes as it worked out in the life of an ordinary woman, a gentle Gentile woman. She was beautiful. But he was also watching over something else. He was watching over the line that through which Christ would come into the world. God's hand was there, right there. And God is watching and working for you today. If you read Judges, you'd find out just how dark and how bad news can be, because it was rotten. Great giants like Samson had let their love and loyalty for the Lord go. And like Miriam, it had led a whole nation astray. And Dorothea brought out very clearly the responsibility that we have as leaders in a home, wherever you're a leader, wherever. But as always, God had a faithful few who remained true. And we see that thread running through the Bible too. And such a person who remained faithful and true was Ruth. Now, we're not told if Ruth was beautiful. I'm so glad, aren't you? I am. I get a bit sick of Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel. They're all so nice looking. But anyhow, Ruth was beautiful. There was a beauty about Ruth which is stageless and ageless. She was lovely. And there's no story, there's no book about Rachel and all those others. At any rate, there is about Ruth. This is the story of two women and their love and loyalty to one another. And miracle of miracles, it's a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Now, that's not by chance either. That's terrific. Those relationships are often ridiculed, and I'm sad because I'm going to be a mother-in-law, I hope, four times over. Anyhow, Ruth's words in verse 16 summarise the story. Chapter 1 of verse 16, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God.'" Now, as we skip through the book of Ruth, we're going to go through the chapters. In chapter 1, we'll see Ruth reliant, and it's going to challenge us to just hand over. In chapter 2, we're going to see Ruth resilient, and this is going to challenge us, ladies, to welcome leftovers. And in chapter 3, we're going to see Ruth radiant, and here she is, and we're going to be challenged to just pull over, let go and let God. And in chapter 4, we're going to find Ruth resplendent, rewarded, and this promises a turnover. It also says to us that we're going to be a star. So what's it going to tell us? To be steadfast, chapter 1. Chapter 2, to be staunch. Chapter 3, to be still. And chapter 4, it promises one day we're going to be a star. The grey will turn to gold. Well, chapter 1, Ruth reliant, hand over. In this chapter, we see Ruth handing her life over to God, trusting him completely as she steps out into the unknown. Faced with affliction, she answers with affection. Love for God and love for Naomi. There'd been a threefold tragedy in Naomi's life. It almost seems too much, doesn't it, for any of you who have lost one? Naomi lost her husband and two sons. And out of this, it brought her to the place where she reassessed who she was and where she was. And wonderfully, she reassessed something else. She reassessed where God wanted her to be. Now, the famine in her homeland, Israel, had meant that Elimelech and his family had fled. I don't think that's right. They had departed to Moab. Now, we find in this first chapter of Ruth that the famine has finished. Whether they had done the right thing or not, I don't know. But she reassessed where she was, and she decided before God that she would return to where she had left, to God's people and God's ways. And that's good news. Like Dorothea said, failure is not final. I don't know whether she and her family had made the wrong step, but she reassessed where she was at, and there was a new step, and she took it. It was going back to where she had left. Now, if you fall, don't give up. Get up. A change of circumstances is common in everybody's life, and particularly at this moment. Our youngest son, we've got four, Steve, lost his job on Tuesday. Well, he's only young, but amongst the four others that lost theirs, there's a father and a new baby and several others. Yes, circumstances change. I find great comfort in the King James. I love the NIV, but always have the King James nearby. Because if you read verse 1 of chapter 1, it says something very lovely. And it came to pass. Now, hard times come and they come to pass. The hard time you're in will also pass. And we can hang on to that. Now, sometimes they just take longer to pass. That's all. Naomi's decision to return home was blessed, because with her went her two widowed daughters-in-law. They wanted to go with her. Being widows was particularly hard. It seems so often when you're bereaved, whether it's your husband or family, or that it'd be so much easier to have gone also than to remain. And I'm sure these three women felt the same. But you'll never be the same again, and I'm sure you'll agree with me. This is one thing that happens. Heaven is nearer and dearer, but bigger than all, the Lord is nearer and dearer. I've proved it. And he leads us into something new. Well, for Naomi, it was to experience the love and loyalty of a daughter, which perhaps she'd never had before, a daughter-in-law. Blessing totally unexpected. Well, verse 6 tells us that the Lord had come to the aid of his people, the famine was over in Israel, and those who had patiently endured were released from the famine. He had always been there, and those that were trusting him would have realised that right in the famine, that he was there, and that at the right time it would cease. It's in our extremities, I've found, that we see the hand of God more clearly than at any other time. And if we hadn't have been there, we would have missed out. Laurie always says that we ate a lot better in Chad, because Chad's in the middle of Africa, because we had so little. I spiced it up, and I still do. And I think that's what he liked. And in times of extremities, we seem to be able to go that extra mile too, don't we? Five ways to cook mince. Well, there's probably more. I don't know, macaroni too. But it's in the extremities that we really find that God is with us, and we can be creative too. The fact that Naomi's two Moabitess daughters-in-law wanted to leave home and go with her shows us two great things. She must have been one great mother-in-law. She must have shown those young women a lot of love and respect. But it shows us something else. She must have been a faithful witness for God. Ruth had never been inside a synagogue in all her life, but she had been in the love reach of someone who loved God, Naomi. Well, when urged by Naomi to go back, Ruth stays, Naomi, and Orpah went. Ruth remained steadfast, not just out of love and loyalty to her mother-in-law, but verse 16 shows us it was out of love and loyalty to God, a consecrated heart. You know, ladies, looking at Naomi, we can take, and Ruth, we can take great comfort. We can have right relationships with one another as long as our relationship is right with God. And we can be spectacular women, spectacular wives, wonderful mothers-in-laws, and very precious daughters-in-law. We can be wonderful friends and neighbours, caring for those who are put near us, not by accident. How can we be? Because of our love for God, we can show them that unconditional love that we've been thinking about. Quite often, those who deserve love least need it most. Well, according to the old Levitical law, Ruth and Orpah, had Naomi other children, they would have been entitled to marry other sons. But Naomi points out very clearly that that was a futile thing. It wasn't going to happen. In fact, she encourages them not to count on her at all. She wants them to go back. Our help and their help would only be from God. And Ruth takes hold of that, doesn't she? Ruth's response shows her implicit trust in her help coming from God. Well, if you turn verse 16 backwards, I think you get it where it should be. Ruth was relying and trusting in God. Your God will be my God, top of the list. Your people will be my people, etc. Where you die, I will die. Wow. We've lived in Africa where it is very important to die at home. The Africans, they are terrified of the thought of dying anywhere but in their village. Now it would have been the same for Ruth. She was willing to die in a strange land. Not for Naomi, but for God. Out of love for God, Ruth would put aside her own needs and she would provide for the needs of Naomi. She would cling to Naomi because she was clinging to God. Now the good news is this, and I didn't quote it, it's Psalm 63 verse 8, but I'll give you my translation. You hold on to me, I have strong hold on you. So, Ruth was hanging on to God, but the strongest hold was God's hold on her. The book of Ruth shows us another thing, that true love and a godly home can survive in a world where the immoral ways of the world around us is terrible and where people are indifferent to goodness. That godly home stands true. Well, verse 16 is very precious. It stamps its the words on the heart of the world, actually, not because of its poetry, but because of its purity, its utter devotion and selfless, self-conquering love. Now, the same loyalty and enthusiasm of love should be found in the centre of our home, every home. It was a steadfast love rooted in her love for God. And it's wonderful to look at Ruth and see people from all walks and talks of life turn to God. She had turned from her old ways. He doesn't want anyone to live without him. He doesn't want anyone to die without life in him, eternal life. That's good news. So Naomi travelled on in verse 19, and God provided her with a companion, bereft but blessed. Someone said later on that Ruth was better to her than seven sons. I won't comment on that, but that's terrific. I think a daughter would be nice. But anyhow, that's what it says. Anyhow, verses 20 to 21. Their arrival in Bethlehem causes a stir. Why? Naomi had changed. Her name actually meant pleasantness, but she suggests they call her Mara. And it reminds us of Miriam, doesn't it? Bitterness. She had actually blessed Orpah with these parting words. The Lord deal kindly with you. But in her heart, she felt, with bitterness, that God hadn't dealt very kindly with her. God's loving heart is dealing with us today. At times, his kindness might take us by surprise. But he is there. Much of the bitterness in her own life may have resulted by steps that she and her husband had taken. I don't know. But even there, in the mistakes, God was still dealing kindly with her and hers. Elimelech was home, working for good. Now, some calamities are chastisement from God's hand, but not suffering. Not suffering. He allows suffering. Well, suffering like that, he took Elimelech home. And what happened in the life of Ruth and Naomi? They learned to empty themselves of self and to fill it with himself. And that's what you learn too. In suffering, we become better or bitter. It depends on the I in the middle. Okay, God's heavenly plan doesn't always make earthly sense, even any sense. Sometimes it seems even nonsense. But his ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Now, as we continue to look at Ruth and Naomi, we can see the full story. You and me today. Well, we're only looking at today, aren't we? We can't see the full story yet. But the good news is that God does. God sees the full story and he's working for his glory. And what's his glory? The character of Christ in us. Christ in us, working out through us. Is there something in your life today that may make you better or bitter? Trust him. Be reliant, like Ruth, hand over. Give God the controls of your life. Be steadfast in your love for him and selfless in your love for those around you. Like Ruth, if you're not a Christian, hand over your life to God and become his child. And you've got the best news of all, eternal life through faith in his Son. God is there. That's the good news. Chapter 2, Ruth Resilient. Welcome the leftovers. And here we're going to be challenged to be staunch. Naomi said that the Lord had brought her home empty. How wrong she was. She wasn't empty. She had the Lord and she had Ruth. Look at your emptiness today and see how full it is. You'll be surprised. I have been. When you've got nothing left but God, then you become quite and fully aware that God is enough. Besides, like Naomi, you might find, as she found at the end of chapter 1, that the barley harvest is just beginning. Something new. Now, in this chapter, we see Ruth welcoming leftovers. We see her humbly doing whatever she can do, and doing it all. Trusting in God's constant care, she is remaining constant and caring also, and strong. Faced with poverty, she is faithful with her possessions. What possessions did she have? Well, let's look at them. Her heart and her hands. An abundant, loving heart, a willing pair of hands, and a humble mind. Ruth did not stick her nose up at leftovers. Laurie's very favourite meal is bubble and squeak. you'll think he only ever thinks about his stomach. Well, anyhow. But unfortunately, with four sons and quite often lots of others, we don't have any leftovers left. So goodbye, Bubble and Squeak. But Ruth knew the regulations in the land that landovers were required to permit poor people to freely come in and glean. Pick up the leftovers. Good news, picking up leftovers? Well, yes. God reigns in everything, even in leftovers. Particularly leftovers. My wardrobe at home proves it. But he does. He works. Walk close to the Lord. And even your decision to pick up leftovers will be important. Walk close to the Lord, and the large and small decisions we make take a very important part in his intricate plan. Don't underestimate the importance of your day-by-day decisions, the routine steps in the ordinary days. We underestimate God, don't we? Even though she was a stranger in a strange land, we see Ruth's love meant action. That's what real love is. Love is service, not just sentiment. She would do all she could for Naomi, gathering up the grain that was left over. It is impossible to love without giving, and love never gives up. Never. Don't give up on someone you're loving today. Satan loves to have us give in and give up. He loves us to be imprisoned in self-pity, self-preoccupation, self-defeat. Actually, he likes us to be imprisoned in self. God knows that in selfless love and selfless sacrifice there is victory and there is freedom. Works, not words, are the proof of our love for God and our love for others. I'm going to say that tomorrow. I am. Come back tomorrow. Okay, verse 3 is terrific in the King James. It says, she happened to come to a portion of field belonging to Boaz. A happenstance. God makes happenings happen, and that's great. This field was the very best field she could be in. Look at where you happen to be today. It could very well be the very best place that you could happen to be in, and it could lead you to a happenstance. Gleaning was a humiliation. And there is no doubt about it, to someone who had perhaps been able to give and give and give, here she was getting. And that wasn't easy, but she quietly worked away, just gathering the one or two stalks that had fallen from the sickle or the hand of the reapers. God's hand is at work in these commonplace decisions and events of every day. This was an important part in the plan of God for her future. God has important plans for you too. The good news, trusting in God's guidance and doing whatever you have to do today is the doorway to tomorrow. Oh, hooray, I found Charles Swindoll. Oh, I hope I've got time. Anyhow, Charles Swindoll said this. I read it just the other day. There was a missionary lady and she just received a gift and it was $10 in an envelope. And she was in her little apartment on the one story, feeling so thrilled. She looked out of the window and she saw an old man walking by, all derelict. She thought, I'll do it. So she wrote on the front, "Don't despair," and dropped the envelope down to the old man. He picked it up and said, "Hooray." Next day there was a knock and he was at the door. "Here you are, lady. Don't despair, paid 6-1. I just had to tell you that. Anyhow. Now, verse 5. Boaz, the owner of the field, noticed Ruth. And this is terrific. He had already heard about her, but now he sees her beauty. Not this, her selfless spirit. He sees her staunch spirit. He sees her humility, her humble work. And the steward, he prayed her diligence. Anyhow, he praises her work. She hadn't stopped since early morning. Well, when I was reading the King James, my eyes turned it around and I ended up reading, she hadn't stopped till early morning except that she tarried in the little house. But it was, she tarried a little in the house. It's fun when your mind's going, isn't it? Anyhow, Boaz was a man of God, a man of Elimelech's family, a man of great wealth and respect, and a man who mingled with his workers, and he mingled towards Ruth. And this is lovely. Boaz, showing interest and sympathy, invited Ruth to stay close to his servant girls and glean only in his field. God was working out his plans while Ruth worked. Here was the beginning of the reward prepared by God. True to her word and true to her God, she had stayed close to God and stayed close to Naomi. Now the cup of water we give to that person close to us does not go unrewarded, never. Verse 12, Boaz says to Ruth, "May the Lord reward your work." Her trust in God, her humble, gracious, refined conduct, and her works had quickly impressed him. Beautiful or not, she certainly had this beautiful, unfading character, this character of beauty. Good lady, I've got good ladies. The good news, ladies, is that beauty is more than skin deep. It is. And that's what God's working for. Verse 10, well, the King James says, she fell on her face out of respect and gratitude. She fell down, well, she fell on her face, but actually she was about to fall on her feet. Humility, that's great. She recognised the great favour he was giving her, seeing she was a foreigner. Now, verse 14, the lady who'd been gathering leftovers eats at the boss's table, and if you look carefully, she even has leftovers left. She had more than she could have. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Boaz even organised that they specially left gleanings for her to glean. And Naomi recognised immediately that this wasn't all at the hand of Boaz. It was really from God. Put a sign up today on whatever's happening for you. God at work. What better news than that God will supply our needs and that he even puts icing on the cake. Been in full-time work a long, long time. He puts icing on the cake and it's precious. And we are so grateful for the ices. That's lovely. The extra touches of love. Naomi acknowledged God's special kindness, not only to her and her family, but she tells Ruth that Boaz was one of their kinsmen redeemers. And hope springs high in her heart. There was no one to restore Naomi's family inheritance unless a close relative purchased back her property. A relative would also be able to carry on the family name by marrying one of her daughters-in-law. Suddenly, the darkness of that endless period seemed to have light. God knows our load limit. He will not allow us a burden too heavy to bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And a little word for relatives. Thinking of the kinsman redeemer, we don't do that sort of thing today, but relatives should not lose sight of one another. This need for one another to be in a family is very important. That's why God has put us in his family. It pictures just the importance of family. Reach out to help somebody in your family or in your family, God's family. Well, following Naomi's advice, and this is terrific, this girl followed her mother-in-law's advice. Anyhow, she continued to glean not only until the barley harvest was over, but until the wheat harvest was over as well. Boy, humbly do the best you can with whatever God has given you, and look out for leftovers. Be staunch. Never give up. Be resilient, like Ruth. Why? Because you trust in God's constant care. Chapter 3, Ruth Radiant, Pullover. Not this pullover, but the pullover that you do when you're on the highway and you need a rest. That pullover. And in this chapter we see Ruth taking definite steps of obedience and then resting. Resting in the sure knowledge of that God's best answer was on the way. The very best. We've seen Ruth's charity, her constancy, her humility, and now we see her serenity. Naomi decided to hasten events here. She was going to do a little bit of matchmaking. So she gave Ruth all those vital feminine hints. Set the scene, be washed, perfumed, and dressed in her best clothes. Now Ruth once again does exactly what Naomi says. In a sense, it was going to be a proposal of marriage, leap year or not. But Ruth's implicit trust in God was tested, because this thing that Naomi suggested could be interpreted wrongly. But her faith relieved her of all her fears. Feed your faith and your fears will starve to death. So in true humility, when Boaz was comfortably asleep guarding his little pile of corn, she went in and she lay at his feet. Verse 9, when Ruth asked the wakened Boaz to spread the corner of his garment over her, what she was actually doing was requesting that he take her into his safe keeping, take her under his wings. She already knew, and don't we ladies know, she already knew that his heart was hers. But now she was proposing that he take the role of kinsman redeemer. Boaz had never married, and perhaps because of the big age difference between him and Ruth, perhaps he had thought that this was not a consideration, that he wasn't a candidate. These chain of events that Naomi initiated would have been quite normal for those days. Boaz only has real admiration for Ruth. He calls her a virtuous woman, morally good and pure. And in verse 11, actually, you find that the whole town knew she was a woman of noble character. Here is the bride Boaz has been waiting for all those years. Ruth's trust and love for God and her selfless loyalty to the family of Elimelech meant she had never really considered any other union, perhaps, except this. And Boaz, on his part, was both honoured and grateful. God was first in both their lives. They would trust him, but there was one hurdle ahead. Okay, they would trust him for that hurdle. Just trust for the hurdle ahead. Don't look at the miles down the track. One hurdle at a time. And that's what she does. There was a relative, this was the hurdle, there was a relative who was a closer relative than Boaz, and he would be the first in line to be the kinsman redeemer. But Boaz was willing for God's will. And in verse 18 we see that Ruth also waited to see how God worked it all out. This is humble obedience. True trust, not holding on fiercely to your plans and what you want to happen, but pulling over and being still, letting go and letting God. I have an arrow next to that and a little word next to it saying David, our son. And it challenged me a long time ago and even today to be waiting. Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. The comfort to me, God never rests. He is at work on your problem today. Wait, my daughter. Now, the foundations for a giving relationship had already been laid for Ruth and Boaz. They weren't going to be like the relationships we see pushed today, aspirations where they are self-centred and self-gratifying. They're spoiling good relationships all around those values. No, Ruth and Boaz would have strong values, loving obedience to the will of God, humility and willingness to deny themselves, to submit to one another. And this would make a marriage relationship lasting and fulfilling. Now, all throughout history, women have held a real place of influence, regal influence. And I think Dorothea touched on it a bit today too. It's not by stepping in on the place of the man, but it's by being there, self-sacrificing, quiet, constant and true. And so have what? The mind of Christ. How precious. Augustine said this, "It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men and women as angels." Humility. Actually, life is a long lesson in humility. Are you finding that out? I am too. And so Ruth waited, and as she did, she was radiant. The beauty of a quiet, gentle spirit. Pull over today. Be still. Know that God is God. Let God be God. Wait while he works, trusting. There is a time to work and there's a time to trust. Dear Lord, help me to live this day quietly, easily, to lean upon thy great strength trustfully, restfully, to wait for the unfolding of thy will patiently, serenely, to meet others peacefully, joyously, to face tomorrow confidently, courageously. God is there. There is good news. And quickly, our last chapter, chapter 4, Ruth resplendent. And here we have a turnover. Here we have the reward. As we journey through this chapter with Ruth, we'll be challenged to be expectant. Have great expectations. God gives great turnovers, great blessings. We may not see them in the form that we expect them to be. We may not see them come as quickly as they could. We may not see them, but they are there. Turnovers in specific areas don't always come quickly, but in the meantime, there's one thing that we have to do, and that is just trust and be expectant. There'll certainly be some blessings, and they may be more important than we think. Last year was going to be a great year for our son David. I thought at last, after 12 years of trauma, that his life would be normal. And just when he should have been marrying his fiancée, Priscilla, who suffered from a severe psychiatric disorder, committed suicide. We loved her very much. So the 4 months since, well, David has been more stable than we've ever seen him before. Fragile, yes, but holding on. I thought the wedding was going to be the turnover. God's ways are higher than our ways. At the city gate, they're all there. That's where all the counselling and all the big things happen, business transactions. And so they were all there, and Boaz explained the matter on hand. He explained it in front of the elders and to the closer kinsman redeemer. There was a parcel of land that needed to be bought, and Ruth's hand in marriage was being offered. Well, it was rejected. I don't know, perhaps the other fellow, anyhow. The relative handed over his sandal, and that was a sign that he surrendered his right to be the kinsman redeemer. Well, everybody was happy. Everyone in unison pronounced their blessing. They loved Ruth. They had seen her love. Barbara Cartland could not have worked out a more beautiful story. Out of tragedy came triumph. Out of failure came a famous finale. And it's great. Ruth and Boaz have a son called Obed who would be David's grandfather. Bigger than that, the ancestor in the line of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth would take her place amongst the greatest women of Israel. She wasn't even an Israelite. Naomi's bitterness and emptiness had been turned over into fullness. Imagine her joy holding Obed in her arms. God had forgiven her failures. He had comforted her in her complaints. Why? She had allowed God to take over and give meaning to life once again. Remember, your good news story isn't finished yet. Naomi had thought of Ruth's happiness just as dearly as she had her own, and Ruth had cared and provided for Naomi's. No miracles in this story, no wars, no victories, and it all happened in Bethlehem. But it's the story of two bereaved women and God's infinite care, wisdom, guidance, provision. It's the story of a family and their loyal love for God and their faithful walk with God and their loyal love for one another and their loyalty as they just took each hurdle and each step at a time. What's the very best news here in the book of Ruth? Well, I'm going to tell you. It is one of the greatest romances of all time, but its central theme is spiritual. It portrays the work of our Lord Jesus Christ as our very own kinsman redeemer. We were also in a dying family. We were also going to lose our inheritance of life eternal. Because we'd been disobedient to God, all of us, Adam, right down. We were in a dying family. God in his great love sent the Lord Jesus as a man to become our kinsman, one of us, so that he could pay the price and buy our inheritance back. And that price was his death. That beautiful way that God made for us to be brought back into his family, brought into life eternal. Have we accepted it? Remember, the price was the death of God's own dear Son. Christ became one of us to do for us what we couldn't do. Pay the price for sin and bring us back to God. So we close now, seeing Ruth rewarded. Ruth resplendent. It's not the successes that God rewards, it's faithfulness. Faithfulness. She became a star, and you're becoming a star too, through faithfulness. Stardom awaits us too. Just a quick... Anyhow, no I won't. Yes, I will. This story is quoted by Mrs. Chambers, but actually I heard Miss Radden say it. On a ship, a famous actress, an elderly worn missionary, was arriving at port. There was a famous actress and an elderly worn out missionary, and they arrived at the port. Now, the famous actress was heralded. There was news reporters, there were garlands, there were bouquets, and everybody clapped. And the little lady just walked along. And she couldn't help but feeling neglected. I've given my life and all I have for you, Lord. And there seemed to be a little voice inside say, my dear one, you aren't home yet. That's where the rewards will be. Yes, there is good news for you today. If you take a leaf out of Ruth's book, be steadfast. Hand over your life to God and be what he wants you to be, loving, loyal and true. Be staunch. Don't give up. Gather the leftovers and see God's constant care, and in turn be a constant carer. humble and obedient. Be still. Pull over today. Trust. In obedience and in quiet confidence, let God be your strength and you will be serene. Be a star. There is reward. There is. And there's a wonderful, wonderful reward waiting for you at home.